Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. We, of course, would love to hear from you, so you can give us a call at our call-in number, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. We social media, so if you're on social media, if you're on Facebook, you can ask to get into our Smooth Drama group, myself, and the much older, shinier Mr. J will add you to the will add you to the group. Once again, either myself or the much older Mr. J will add you. And he's shinier too. I don't know what he uses, but it makes him shine a lot more than I do. In anywhere.
So are you ashy?
No, I'm never ashy.
Okay, I'm just asking. All right, yeah. I'm just saying. I want people, you know, wanting to clarify.
I mean, I may have the biggest collection of coconut oil ever assembled in the household. I've got like four jars that are unopened. Talking about the big one.
Yeah.
So I'm good. I don't think ashy will be my problem.
Okay. Not I'm old. Just, you know, wanted to clarify
right,
so
well,
that people would know.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
You're not as shiny, but you're not ashy either.
Right. Okay. See, I'm perfectly in the middle. In the middle. All right. So
yeah, being in the middle isn't always bad.
Yeah. Like money used to be in the middle. Where is she at? In the middle. it's the hip hop thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere you find Smooth Drama, add us, follow us. We'll add you, follow you back. We love to have this course. You want to talk to us live? You can go to smoothdrama.com, jump into the chat room. We chat about this and that, from sneakers to hats. We have interesting conversations. We'll just say that. And the chat room is open 24/7. And we are anonymous. So if you want to go in, you want to talk as crazy as you want to talk, we might not answer back, but you can be anonymous in your crazy.
If it's crazy, you know I'm going to answer back.
Well, see.
You know, I love that.
So it's sitting out there. See, it's like right now we got a timid person in there. I wonder how they come up with these anonymous names. It's always hilarious. But,
yeah, they are very. I love them, though.
Yeah, I do too. It's like they just...
Yeah.
Divine citizen, they just come out with all kinds of names. So it's anonymous. You want to dive in, you don't have to worry about the good people over here at Smooth Drama trying to steal your identity or digitally stalk you or whatnot. It's not gonna happen. That
or censor your creativity.
Yeah, all that good stuff. Just let it flow, like the Beastie Boys used to say.
I love
right.
that album.
Yeah, I do. It was classic.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we still in the apocalypse, and it seems to get more scrumptious as the days move on.
And it does.
and the hard part about it, it's like there's no end in sight. So I mean, it was kind of expected that you would have some winter time trepidation, a little for lack of a better word, drama during the the winter months, because that's normally flu season, whatnot. And so, of course, there are stores, Bay Area, everywhere else, where people are doing the pandemic hoarding again.
Hopefully, I saw that back east.
Yeah, hopefully, y'all got your TP. We're gonna hope that people not out there shooting each other over toilet paper.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. I'm not holding my breath. I see the hoarding, and I'm assuming that because there's been talks where they Gavin Newsom even talked about a 10 p.m. curfew as far as dining goes, and then you can't serve alcohol after 10 p.m. that a lot of people may or may not panic and start going crazy. So
now that, I mean, we can, it's not like the shelter in place. It's not like the SIP. I mean, where everything was closed and we couldn't go anywhere but to Target and Costco and Walmart.
Right.
So, I mean, he's opening restaurants, but you can't dine in, which is okay, all right. It's raining, so you can't eat outside, okay. But you can order to go. So, I mean, it's not as bad as it was the first time around.
Well, yeah, it's not bad. I mean, if places are open, it's just, you know, following pandemic rules, if you can get people to actually, one, wear their mask, two, try to limit their touching, and three, you know, keep it. I mean, because I was around this weekend, and you can see that most places when you walk in, they have the hand sanitizer available.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the majority of the stores. They're sanitizing everything, and you can sanitize yourself. Me personally, I always keep a bottle in my pocket, as well as just in case I have that old man's brain fart. I have a big thing inside my trunk. So, it's one of those things that I believe in redundancy of safety. So I've always, but this is just how I normally function. So I'm kind of covered no matter what. Even if I forget, I've got masks in the car. I've got masks in the trunk. I've got them. Yeah, I got stuff. So.
Okay, so I have this to ask you then, because you're just one person that's doing all of this, which is fantastic. But don't you think it should be nationwide? Like, I feel like the issue is because they're not doing it in Florida, and they're not doing it in North Dakota, and they're not doing it in Utah. You know what I mean? It's not consistent across the board. So, I mean, I feel like if they had to shut it all down and everybody had to be uniform, we probably would be, you know, pretty much out of the woods.
Yeah, I would disagree with you, because my theory has always been that people are tired of proper practice. So,
yeah, but in the beginning, like in March and April, if we had have done it then. I mean, I think now we're kind of too late. I really do feel like that. I think people are pretty much over it.
No, it wouldn't have mattered.
And we're going to do what they want to do.
Yeah, but we're talking about lifestyle. See, this isn't, you know, we talking about the pandemic, and, you know, we can talk about people who don't take it serious, whatnot, but realistically, we're talking about lifestyle. And so you say you that the pandemic has highlighted the flaws of the public, the culture, the acculturation, all that. So hygienic practices, all that are highlighted, the flaws or lack of flaws, they're all there. So people who were normally doing the right thing, you still do it. You just heighten awareness. The people who are struggling, they weren't doing the right thing in the first place. So, I mean, we can talk about testing. We can talk about all this stuff, but there's a consistency. There's a consistency, right? So if you were somebody who, and I'm not saying be like Monk, where you're just like, if I see dust, oh, my world is over. And I got to.
And you're just wiping everything down that you've wiped down like 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
Right. But what we're talking about is if you consistently did that, if just your basic hygiene and cleanliness is part of your basic package, you know, 9 times out of 10, you'll be fine. And so then from there, it'll be about who you're around and who enters into your sphere. And so, and if they're doing the right things, you're cool. It's like your bubble, right? You have a bubble of cleanliness and people who are practicing cleanliness. Now, if you're not, that's where we have a problem, because it's I'm gonna keep saying it. It's a hygienic issue, and we're talking about mental and physical.
So do you think we're never gonna? We're always. I mean, because you can't like regulate anybody's hygiene. You can't go, you know, and there's no hygiene police. So, I mean, how are we gonna get through this then?
Well, I mean, it's about the people in the culture. So that's what it is. So for example, it's Thanksgiving is coming up next week, right? And so I don't know if you saw the story in Dallas, thousands of people lined up to receive food from the North Texas Food Bank ahead of the holiday next week. And what we're talking about is not food because you need it, but food because, hey, I want to do this Thanksgiving thing. And we can go back and forth on the merits of Thanksgiving and people coming together and all that other stuff. Point is, that's what they're lining up for. It's not a need, it's a want. You know, it's a gluttonous thing. And so it's not something that's like, you know, survival. Like, now there are some people who are hurting, right? You know, make no mistake about it. We're in the pandemic and the money's not flowing like it normally would.
Yeah.
So we understand that there's people that's hurting. But I'm going to guess of the thousands of people lined up in their cars in Dallas, was it necessarily about, hey, I don't know when I'm going to get a meal, or, hey, I want to get this free food so we can have Thanksgiving too? So we start talking about.
I mean, you would never know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. We're talking about priorities and what makes sense and what you do during a pandemic. What's important? So, I mean, because we're talking about the people who are hoarding and what people do. You don't necessarily need it. So I'm sure there's people who still got some toilet paper in their closet somewhere from last summer.
Oh, I'm sure.
That bought like 45 packs.
Yeah. From Costco.
Right. We had to have it. But, you know, this is a practice. So when you start talking about why you would have an issue in the United States, because one, we're talking about the gluttony, and two, it's the spiritual, it's the energy that's in the air. So I'm going to have it, and I don't care if everybody else has it or not, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what anybody else says. I mean, so we see in a lot of these places who is just, it's the practices. It's about the practices. It's tough to do right. It's tough to do right.
And I agree. So then, I mean, so we'll always be in this situation then. I mean, there's no way out of it.
No. I know it sounds like a negative, but I'm just saying as the culture is currently constituted, I don't see a way out, because this is just how we're built here in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I'd like to be more optimistic about it. I'd like to hopefully, I mean, it doesn't look like it. I mean, to look at the news and to, you know, hear everybody talk, you know, I don't think we'll be out of it anytime soon. But, you know, as much as people keep talking about wanting to get back to normal, they're not willing to do the things to make that happen. So I guess that's what's sad for me.
Right. I mean, because we're talking about people will still shoot you if you say wear a mask. That's too much, but I'm gonna shoot you because you want me to follow the rules.
Or stab you.
Right.
Or beat you up.
Right. I mean, 'cause that's the added bonus of being a quote unquote essential worker. If you try to enforce them rules,
exactly.
You don't know if they're gonna try to blow your head off.
Mm-hmm.
Or stab you. Or beat you up,
yeah.
Whatnot, because following the rules is just too much. Nah, y'all trying to control me. I mean, I've heard people talk about the control part and how the government is trying to control people and acculturate them and keep kids out of school, whatnot. And, I mean, as a conspiracy theorist, yeah. We understand that the lack of touch and people being able to socially interact can be detrimental, especially when we talk about development of children and psyche, whatnot, how they learn to acculturate. But at the same time,
mm-hmm.
when you're in a pandemic, you know, it's one thing for people who won't necessarily be caught in them situations to clamor for stuff. Right, because we know, once again, teachers aren't appreciated, and people would more than likely throw teachers under the bus. Like, you know what, we just gotta get these kids back in school, because it's just and you hear that, but then people start coming down with COVID, whatnot, then everyone start complaining, and it's like, yo, it's a cycle, and part of that is the. What you're taught at home and what I talked about, the hygiene part, you know, because there's the physical hygiene and then there's the mental hygiene where you're thinking the habit, you're thinking the proper habit, Because little kids are smart. It's the adults that dumb them down. So they'll do what they're supposed to be, they're told to do. But then they'll go home and they'll look at the adults who don't practice those things, and they come and bring that into the arena. So I don't see it. I see the same thing happening, because there's a way that we do things, and it stays there. Because there's a lot of people who will pontificate and get on their soapbox and talk about what should be done, but then these are the same people who don't practice what they preach. It's one thing to talk about taking stuff serious and do this, do that, but do you personally do it? And do you create an environment where that happens? That's what we're looking at. I mean, I watch the people on TV. I see them in here, but I'm guessing none of them know how to clean.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, I think even if you are clean, you still can catch it. I don't think.
Yeah, of course.
I don't, you know, I think now, maybe initially, yeah, but I think now, I think people who are using hand sanitizer and, you know, are clean and keeping their house clean and keeping themselves clean, you know, they're still at risk, so.
Right, everybody's at risk.
Although I did hear, I did hear that mouthwash can kill the virus.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, mouthwash, I mean, and it was funny because Listerine came out and talked about it. They wanted to caution people that, yes, some of the ingredients with the 20% alcohol, whatnot, can help in the fight against the virus, but it is not the be-all, the end-all. So,
no.
Okay, they were talking about people who were trying to clean their surfaces with Lysol, and they're trying to, you know, please don't do this. Drink Listerine, swallow it. That's not a good idea. Just as a public service announcement. It's probably not going to work out for you if you do. It'll make things smell better around your house, but yeah, no, don't do it. So yeah, I've read that, and I know it's been a lot of people who've been stocking up on the Listerine with alcohol and gargling and whatnot, which is what you should have been doing in the first place. As I've always said from my dentist, who told me the greatest line ever, hey, just brush and floss the ones you want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of simple. So it's, once again, we're talking about, if you want to maintain it, you have to do the right thing. So you want your body to perform, you have to do the right things to your body. How you feed your body, stretching, exercise. I mean, it's a total package. And so, you know, there's philosophies, and then there's the application of the philosophies. As we get older, we become wiser, but wise gets translated in different ways, because people will say one thing, but they'll be loose in another way, and it's like, well, there's a total application. And we understand that, yes, we're not perfect, but there's some things that you can do that can limit the damage. We'll just say that. we can limit the damage.
Mm-hmm.
And just in case y'all was thinking that they're only tripping in the United States, yeah, there's some stuff happening in other countries. For example, in France, they have a sign that's saying don't throw your kid over the fence, because apparently that their school, they closed the fence at like 8:30, and they opened it back up at like 10 and 3 p.m., but there were some parents who had been throwing their kid over the fence. Now, most people who are sane would say, you know what, I'm not going to throw my kid over the fence. But most people. Apparently, there are some people who think that throwing their kid over the fence is a good idea. I would not be one of them, but apparently there are some people out there, Brown Sugar, who's like, you know what? I'm a little late. You got to go to school. I'm going to throw you over the fence. Just curl up so it doesn't hurt when you land.
Yeah, tuck and roll. Tuck and roll. Could you imagine, though?
Yeah, because they had to put a sign up.
Exactly. I'm like, how many kids have been thrown over the fence?
Well, so it's funny because it's like I always think about my experience living in San Diego, and you see those signs that say, watch out for the people who are trying to cross the freeway when there's a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It happens. You know, like caution with the deer, whatnot. Apparently, caution. It might hurt if you throw your kid over the fence.
Yeah, just a tiny bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a tiny bit.
Right. So, thankfully, we don't have that issue here in the United States as we know it. Hopefully, that doesn't happen. To the homies over there in France, please stop it.
What's weird? I would think it would be us doing that, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we just don't bring our kids to school, I guess. So if they're late, they just don't show up.
Yeah, we bring them to school.
Well, maybe not.
But, yeah, bringing them to school, but when they close the fence, we won't throw them over the fence. I'm just saying that's one of the weirder things that I've heard. And I mean, people are hurting. People are hurting, and there's a level to hurt, because once again, when we talk about hurting here in the United States, there's a difference between hurting here in the United States and everywhere else, because our level of exposure to luxuries is a little bit higher than everywhere else. And so the Mike Tyson ludicrousness of things is different. So like there's a 71-year-old dude in Lakeland, Florida, who found a down power line, and he tried to sell it to a recycling yard. It's like, we trying to sell down power lines. Now, I bring this up because I've got my homie in Ocho Rio, and you know, he does World of Black Superheroes, and he always does the different updates on Black Superheroes, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we hadn't talked in a minute, and he was like, yeah, man, they dug up the broadband and stole the broadband in the city, all of it, to resell it. And so they didn't have access to internet. And you start thinking about it because people are starving and not doing that well. So they're going to obviously want to do things to eat. So digging up broadband.
You can become very resourceful.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard work right there. But to think about a power pole and, you know, you a 71-year-old man, this is what we talking about, desperation, right? 71-year-old man found a down power pole. Power poles are pretty big. And tied it to his truck, tried to sell it.
Wow. Where do you
that's
sell
hungry
a power
right
pole at?
Exactly. He went to the recycling yard like, yo, I got this power pole.
But I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very,
interesting.
Very interesting. I thought it was funny, but it's under the context. One, he's 71, and he probably doesn't have as many prospects as he had when he was 41. So desperation is a little bit higher. Things ain't flowing like they used to be, and so I got to do what I got to do. I got to do what I got to do. And so, boom, here we are.
Yeah.
So, I got this.
That's a true hustler. I say that. That is a true hustler.
71 out there putting up power poles to the truck. I got to shout him out because I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, even like to know where to go or how who's going to accept this power pole that I have to offer?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, okay.
Well, it's just the desperation that's out there. But once again, we're talking about the tempered expectations because relative to our luxuries, how we do things different. How we do things are different. Because we got a little bit more. And so I think that's why the collective psyche is different. Because a lot of people here in the quote-unquote land of milk and honey aren't accustomed to the realities of struggle that people are in other places. And we're talking about here in the United States, there are people who are struggling who didn't necessarily struggle before. It's foreign concept. Mm-hmm. So watching it play out is like one of the more interesting sociological phenomena. And on that note, we're going to go on break. It's the Immortal Technique. That's what it is.
I was hollering for North during our red cons because I never sent the nap back behind. watching you. Don't ever forget it, bitch, cause everybody knows that it's government too. They never sit on themselves, but they want to sit on you. Evolution from all failure, pithecus, primitive commercial shit, the hardcore lyricist, the wax is useless, rappers are chopping like Icarus, technological revolution, nigga, picture it. But this is what it is now. Lyrical bullets packed to the top of the clip now. Treat it like a robbery. I'm shutting this shit down. Fellas, put your hands up and all the lyrics shut down. That's not misogynist. You opposites, cause I could just apocalypse. From politics to the populace. Or silence what the market is. With militant caucuses. That's the spirit of hip hop. I'm the sarcophagus. This is the curse of Tutankhamun. Common. I bring the trauma on. I'm sinful. I hate you. Broad daylight on Ramadan. Hip hop reparations. Now we're taking back the loot.
Synthetic, therefore, no growing, no refining, no peasants, best of all, no international borders, no customs agents. There in that case in front of you are two detailed prospecti on marketing, anticipated cash flow, and so forth.
You racist Americans, you just want to cut us poor Hispanics completely out of the market.
I think you know that there's no such thing as an American anymore. No Hispanics, no Japanese, no blacks, no whites, no nothing. It's just rich people and poor people.
Together you got smooth drama. Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Immortal Technique. That's what it is. Our call-in number is 347-826-7435. 347-826-7435.
All right. So, schooling is another, you know, education, folks, don't say education is all that serious, but for some reason, we keep hearing about these scandals with rich people paying for their kids who are not qualified to get into these schools.
Mm-hmm.
So, It always takes me back to I remember the two black women who lied about their address so that their kids can go to a better school, and them being arrested and put in jail for that. Got years because they wanted their kids to get a proper education, and folks was like, nah, that's the integrity of our system, because We're talking about integrity when we're talking about the educational system here in this country. So anyway, a Maryland businessman paid Harvard University's former fencing coach at least $1.5 million in bribes, including payments for a car and a house in the suburbs to get his sons admitted to the Ivy League school.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Jack, or G. Jack Zhao, in 61, and Peter Brand, 67, they were arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit federal programs bribery for the alleged agreement. Zhao is the CEO of telecom company iTalk Global Communications, and Brand was Harvard's men's and women's fencing coach from 1999 until last year when he was fired following the investigation, which found that he was living large.
Now, yeah.
I don't blame you, because if somebody gave me $1 million to get their kid in school, yeah, he's one of the best fencers that I've ever known. I'll get you in fencing. We still sword fighting.
What I'm not understanding, are the kids just not able to get into the school on their own? I'm not understanding like this. Or
right.
I mean, you're paying millions of dollars for them to go to a school that you're not. If they just got into a school, you're not going to pay millions of dollars. So I'm confused.
All right. So we know that the Ivy League schools, it's like a get out of jail free ticket. If you went to an Ivy League school and that's on your resume, you're hired. Right?
True.
You're hired. Because you went to the Ivy League school. And so, and then we're talking about the connections to people who have money. I mean, because that's what you're paying for. Because you're paying it forward because you understand the connections that you can make, the resources and the networks that you get. That's invaluable. I agree.
My thing is there's so many Ivy League schools. I mean, you know, not a lot, but they couldn't like apply to all of them? Or, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. But see, I will throw this out there. So we had a president who had a hard time reading off the teleprompter. You remember that guy? He went to an Ivy League school. Now, do you think that he got into that Ivy League school based on his academic work?
Well, I just
probably
assume, especially the men of his age, their family made donations. And that's
yeah.
how they got in.
And that's how you
and
get
so
in.
And so that doesn't work anymore. People don't do that anymore either.
Well, this guy, you know, you're outside of the old money network, and you trying to when
okay.
you're trying to get into it. This is how the game is played. That's how you get in.
Okay.
You have to pay that
yeah.
money, like. You say it's a donation to the school. He made a donation to the school. It just was to an individual. He found the right person. Yeah, because if you think about it, at these Ivy League schools, $1.5 million, what does that get you?
Exactly.
What does that get you? At, you know,
that's what I'm. That's what I was wondering. It seemed like it'd be cheaper just to have him apply.
Yeah, but
No, but
and I'm sure he'll get into one.
I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying the 1.5 is nothing. It's nothing on that level. You got to remember, this is a different level, you know, because there's the Ivy League schools and then there's the rest of the schools. When we're talking about prestige, and when we say prestige, we're just talking about the people who go there and the access to individuals who are going to make it happen. Because basically your leadership and majority of your successful CEOs, whatnot, they come from those schools. So, yeah, that you're paying for the access.
I see.
So he found somebody like, yo, can you get my kids in? Hell yeah. I mean, if you think about it, this, the one he got caught. He got caught.
And that's another, like, here I am paying you $1.5 million, and I might get caught and have to do some time. So is it really worth it in the end? Because now it's a scandal. So it's his son and all the access he was going to get isn't worth anything now anyway.
Well, it kind of is, because you're still there. I mean, are they kicking the kids out of the school?
Yes, they are.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the kids don't get to stay.
All right. Well, I mean,
unless they've graduated already, you know. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. So,
you know,
like,
how far along they are in their college year. So.
All right. So we talk about a girl from Desperate Housewives and all that. How far along were the kids? Does the university?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Does the university penalize the kids for what the parents did? I mean,
I think they do.
Okay. I don't know.
I think one of the kids. I do remember one of the kids not being able. They did graduate, and then they didn't get to. I mean, you know, they didn't get to keep their degree.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
So
and I guess it would be depend on the school. I'm sure each school has its own rule. So.
Right. I mean, so if you have the academics, then because there's the sport, and so this is the tricky part, and one of the key parts. When we talk about because of the sports angle, saying, well, they were fencing stars and they had a fencing style. It's sort of like when you recruit sports, football, basketball, volleyball, soccer, whatever. It's subjective. It's all in what the coach is looking for their system. And you have to argue, no, they didn't fit that system. But, you know, they're saying that they did. So it becomes tricky trying to prove that. We have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Where are you calling from and what can we do you for?
Yeah, I'm calling from Montana. And I was wondering, like a lot of Block Talk radio shows, they keep saying that President-elect Biden. So I was calling in to see if that was your philosophy.
What?
There are Block Talk radio shows that keep believing that Biden was elected president, so they call him President-elect Biden. So I'm calling in to see if that's the philosophy of your show.
Yeah, I didn't really care who was elected. It's the same thing for me. So whether he was voted, somebody, people call him President-elect Biden or whoever, doesn't really matter.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because he's not the president-elect. So I wanted to find out how many people actually believe that he was elected.
I'm guessing everybody who voted for him.
So you think everybody voted for him, and even though that Trump is still the president, that president-elect that Biden is considered the official president-elect?
That's what they say on TV.
Well, what about this show?
What about this show? I'm not on TV.
Do you guys believe that Biden is the president-elect?
So, I will say this.
I say when he is inaugurated in January, he will be the president.
Okay. I don't know how to rephrase it. So you guys think he's officially the president-elect? So he's, in other words, he won the election.
If they say he won, then he won.
Who's they?
The people who actually handled the process.
Yeah, the states where he was certified, where there was certification.
All right, which state certified him?
Well, when the certification is over, I mean, I don't see what the problem is. I mean, from what we can see, I mean, I think there has always been voter corruption, and there's always been fraud, and, you know, this is nothing new.
Okay, here's the point. I'm trying to get down to the bottom line.
4 years ago when Trump won against Hillary, right, because she won the popular vote.
Yeah, but he was certified. See, nobody certified Biden as being the president-elect. He has not won the election. That's the point I'm getting at.
If they don't, he's not.
So if he is certified, once he is certified, then what?
If he's certified. The thing is, he's not certified now.
Okay, so but if he becomes certified, then what?
Well, then if he becomes certified, he would be the president in the future. But he's not the president-elect now. Which means that there are a lot of people who believe the propaganda, and there are people who just go along with whatever.
Well, there's propaganda on both sides. I mean, it's all bullshit. So it doesn't, Mr. F. the N-word said, it doesn't matter. Because it's all nonsense.
What's
and it doesn't
nonsense?
Benefit us either way.
So if Trump continues to be the president, or if Biden gets in to be the new president, you think that America will just stay the same? That the economics, the political...
As a black woman, yes, it will. As a black woman, yes, it will.
So there's been no improvements, nothing under the Trump administration that has been improved?
Not that I could see, no. Not that I can see.
Nah.
If you have something, though, you can email it to smoothdrama.com. Or what is it, what is the email?
But you can email us, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. But I would add, so as a businessman, I have a corporation. Yes, my corporation is a third person. I get a better tax break.
And that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I'm not complaining.
Okay, and if Biden comes in, do you think these tax breaks will still continue?
I don't know. We won't know until we actually see it.
Okay, that's part of my point. A lot of people haven't done research. They just swallow the Kool-Aid or just wait for things to come along when they have an opportunity to actually at least try to prevent it. So here on this show, here on this show, you guys just say, half a dozen of one, six of another.
Well,
okay,
so
that's all I wanted to know. Because I like to talk politics, so all right. So take care. Bye bye.
All right, you take care too. All right. Well, that was enlightening.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm not going to go back and forth with people like that, for one, because they believe, I mean, you say drinking the Kool-Aid, which, I mean, most people who support Trump, I feel like they drink the Kool-Aid, because regardless of how much economics or how much he helped the economy, it still doesn't, to me, override or make his divisiveness any better. His hate speech, how he doesn't condone hate speech, how he
he's a hateful man regardless. And people say, well, that's his personality. Well, I have a right not to like someone's personality, and I don't like you.
Well, I mean, once again, we start talking about, well, I know he was talking about just in general what we believe in and how we believe. And I think the people on the quote-unquote left and on the quote-unquote right don't understand that, yeah, if you got two people who have blatant disregard for you, I mean, you're talking about which one are we trying to tongue kiss? If person on the right has bad breath and person on the left has bad breath, both the kisses are gonna suck.
Exactly.
I would invite him
to come to the smoothdrama.com chat, though. He's welcome to come to the chat if he'd like to continue this conversation.
Yeah. I think he was trying to make the point about, do you accept who they call the president-elect, whatnot. Yeah.
I mean, I guess, like you said, it doesn't matter. But for people who, I don't see, I would like to know what, if he doesn't accept Biden as president, and if he becomes president, what is he going to do about it? I'd like to know what the people are going to do. I mean, we went through this thing with Bush, and I forget who he ran against all those years, but people weren't happy with him becoming president. And guess what? He was president, and everybody sucked it up on either side, and life went on.
It was the Al Gore Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah,
and so yeah,
exactly. I mean, we survived him. We survived Obama. You know, you survived a black president, so you'll be okay. Either way.
Yep. Well, I remember when Trump was elected and going to work, and everybody was like, "Oh my God, what are we gonna do?" Well, still here. So.
So, like you said, you get tax breaks and stuff, and, oh, you know, that's a good thing. But what about everything else? That's just, you know, a few things on a list of nonsense. Just nonsense.
Right. If you're lucky enough to be able to take advantage of certain situations, yeah, but we know the majority of the people are not as fortunate. And so when we talk about it, yeah, if that designation goes away, I'll be slightly hurt, but I'll be all right. I think I'm okay. So it's a perspective. See, once again, that's what I was talking about in the first segment. There's a certain mentality. You know, if it doesn't benefit me 100%, me and mine, it's no good. And so there's no middle ground. It's just like, it's going to either be this way towards us and fuck all the rest of y'all, and that's it. There's no middle. The prospect of everybody being able to prosper, It's just a foreign concept.
Yeah, and there goes your colonialism.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, I'm better than you.
My privilege and your colonialism.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've said it how many times, and it's funny because started off the show talking about it. There's a mentality. And, you know, despite the fact that homie is probably going to go down as one of the most corrupt presidents ever, you'll love him because he embraced your ignorance. That's what it comes down to. Embrace your ignorance and allows you to be as ignorant as you want to be.
you know, you have a pandemic and we start talking about doing the right thing. He embraces doing the wrong thing. And we're talking about the dude who has access to the best of everything. He actually got COVID. And then did all
and
that
threw it,
stuff.
And threw it in everyone's face. How
right.
magnificent his fit was.
Right.
And they're just excited that he beat COVID. You know, and it's like, well, no.
Maybe,
you know.
Maybe I'm immune. So, I mean, we can debate on whether or not he faked it, whatnot, whatever, or he's talking about. I mean, because we just look at him. Like I said before, he wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger in great shape. Nah, that's an out of shape man. So I'm not gonna take the health in the words of an out of shape man. I look at you and I'm going to say that whatever you say, I'm gonna do the exact opposite because that's what works. Because doing
exactly.
what you do. Is going to have me like you. I'm good. So, yeah.
I just think about all the people who believed in everything he said about COVID and died, or it wound up in ICU, or because he encouraged, you know, them not to, or his followers not to wear a mask. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well, yeah. See, once again, it was more
than
that
was my point. What I was trying to say earlier, as far as it being across the board, had he just not made it a political statement, and just this is the right thing to do, this is what the science says to do, you know, we'll get out of this.
Yeah.
You know, yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's going to be an uphill battle. Yes, we need a vaccine. You know, but still, you know, if he isn't like. You know, I'll listen to the guy who just called in and said that he's not, you know, he's the next president. If he does lose the presidency, it's because of COVID he lost it. So he handled that ridiculously.
Yeah. Mike Tyson ludicrously. Just know that's where we're at. His handling of everything. Yeah, but do scientists know? I mean, all of that. And even then, he still barely lost. He still barely lost.
Yeah.
So I would ask, what does that say about the state of the country and the mentality, as well as the person who he ran against? It's like, you know, if you were competent, you should have blew him out the water. If you were competent.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You know, I believe that he is president-elect because I don't want Biden, but I damn sure don't want Trump.
Right.
And that's,
I mean,
it.
Yeah, we know that was part of the allures. Like, you know what? People were voting. I mean, Trump said it. It's like, y'all only voting for him because he's not me.
Exactly.
Right. So that's how bad he was. And he barely lost, which goes to the mentality of people like, oh, yeah, but we were doing fine. And the direction of the country is going, which is saying dysfunctional, is fine with people because people are fine with dysfunction.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you can see it and recognize it in the philosophy of the world, just watching what's happening in the country. And then you can just see it on a personal level. Some folks, prosperity is not for them. Doing right is not for them. You see it, and all you can do, as posted in the Smooth Drama chat room with the meme where you just You just shake your head and look up to the sky and sigh. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. And on that note, we are going to go on break. This is Erykah Badu, My People.
I'm a bad motherfucker and I don't mind.
Pure dynamite.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Erykah Badu, My People. Our call-in number is 347-826-7435. 347-826-7435.
All right. So, UPS. Apparently, UPS had appearance guidelines. And they decided, you know what, we're going to lift that. We're going to lift the ban on beards. They're allowing beards and mustaches and face and other facial hair and quote-unquote natural black hairstyles such as afros and braids, according to a internal memo that was reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. Thought that was interesting. UPS says now you can have your natural hairstyle. Ain't that nice of them?
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Letting me be who I am.
Yep. This was applied to the workers who may potentially interact with customers rather than warehouse personnel or truck loaders. If you have braids, you can wear your braids now, because apparently the unseemliness of an afro would have been too much. And somebody calling in, oh my God, he had an afro and he delivered my package. It was too much.
It was offensive.
Yes, I don't know if I can ever use UPS ever again. They have afros. Yep.
Yeah, I don't, you know. I don't know. I guess maybe that's a hate thing, too. Maybe that should have been under your hater of the week.
Maybe. We're talking about a policy that is not necessarily new here, right? You know, your natural look
is offensive,
right? So, if my hair grows out, I have an afro. That's too much. But I mean, anybody else who grows their hair out, that's fine. So, you know, that's inherently the system that we're in. So I guess part of what we have happening here in our quote unquote spiritual awakening, folks are being tolerant of who you actually are. So it's like, so you have some people who are begrudgingly accepting, you have an afro, you're not going to perm it out. All right. Okay. That's fine. Begrudgingly. Mm-hmm. Begrudgingly.
If you have to.
Yeah. I mean, I'll accept. If I got to, I'll accept it. Oh man, that is really, really funny. That is really,
very much,
really funny. So we're talking about funny and UPS. Now, you know, we've got situations where we talk about rights. So there was a woman who got arrested in Florida because she threatened people online. She threatened Florida Governor DeSantis and a couple other people. And so in her post, she threatened to shoot DeSantis, Rubio, and Scott for looting Florida.
Hmm.
Remember how we were talking about the online bullying? Now,
mm-hmm.
She was arrested Saturday over a Twitter post a few days ago. And it stated, DeSantis, Rick Scott, and Marco Rubio are looting my state. I'ma shoot them. And so, after having her rights read, she admitted to a detective that the Twitter account was hers and that she made the post. She's a registered Democrat and told the detective it was a joke. And she said, and I quote, when I made the observation that there were no commonly used terminology to show the post was a joke, she stated that anyone who follows her knows her sense of humor. And, of course, the tweet is still available on her on her timeline.
Well, so, it can't be that serious if it wasn't removed or blocked.
Well, see, this is one of those controversial but not controversial things. If you threaten people in power who are quote unquote conservative, they take that shit seriously, and we're gonna arrest y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And now you start thinking about the climate. Because remember when they had the plot to kidnap a girl from Michigan? It's like they were gonna take her and a few other people. And the guy that's in office that everybody's trying to prop up, he was like, yeah, that was good. He was like, maybe she should have been kidnapped. It's like, it's kind of crazy that you would say that.
Yeah.
Because then you allow for an environment, which is what they want, right? They want an environment of lawlessness where, because we're
are you sure? Because they say they're about law and order.
Yeah, for them. Yeah.
Okay.
Law and order for them, right? Law and order doesn't apply to them. Yeah, it doesn't apply to them. It's for us. We need to be lawful, where they can break laws at an epic rate. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
That's the American way. I mean, look. You know, I'm gonna go into Groundhog Day, right? You just going to Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh hell no.
So Mississippi governor calls for spending $3 million on patriotic education fund. So we remember when President Trump said we needed that. He did that executive order. We needed the executive order, and it was 1776, where we need to, support real patriotic education. So Tate Reeves, the governor of Mississippi, that great state of Mississippi, one of the more progressive states in the union, he says, $3 million on patriotic education fund. He says, capitalism, democracy, and other uniquely American values have been the victims of a targeted campaign from foreign and domestic influence aiming to destroy the pillars of our society. The United States is the greatest country in the history of the world. No other nation has done more for its citizens or to advance freedom and prosperity across the globe. We need to combat the dramatic shift in education. Said, because there's revisionist history that he said is poisoning a generation. So, what we're talking about here is the influence of the truth in our education system. Like, oh man, you want to talk about the founding fathers and you want to talk about how awful they were. Yes, they held slaves, but look what they did, right? They brought America together. They defeated the British. And yes, it's controversial that they said freedom and liberty for all, but they had slaves. Kind of doesn't make sense.
Oh, okay.
Kind of doesn't, but it wasn't us, so it doesn't really matter, right, Brown Sugar? It's like,
yeah.
Freedom for everybody in my house, but you can't come out your room. If you do, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
And maybe after I've eaten whatever's left on the plate or in the bowl, you can get some.
Yeah, you can have leftover scraps.
Yeah. After you've cleaned the house and the yard and made sure that whatever I say you had to do was done. And so what the truth and the realities of slavery, a lot of it's been downplayed. I mean, because we've seen the movies, and generally there's the whipping, and they emphasize that, but then they always try to show that there are some people with compassion and whatnot. And I would say that cinematically, they have not portrayed the true evils of slavery. Because once again, when you hear arguments from people, well, that was people a long time ago, and it's not us. Yeah, I would argue, yeah, if I held you as a slave, and, you know, for example, I could just, on a whim, I can just, hey, I'm gonna take your wife, and I'm getting your wife pregnant. Your wife is having kids by me. Your daughter's having kids by me. Everybody on the plantation look like me.
Yeah.
That's not emotionally scarring. It's not, right, Brown Sugar? You're not worried about me raping your daughter. It's not a big deal.
Well, I mean, you would own us, though, right? We would be your property, so.
Right. Property. Property is different.
Yeah.
Property is different, right?
Yeah.
You weren't a real human. You were just property. Or much less talking about, hey, what about raping your son? See, because once again, there's preconceived notion that, oh, well, yeah, things were pretty straight and narrow. And it was just like, if you tried to run away or you quote unquote violated some rule, that was the only way that you could get punished. But we know that in actuality, if people can be cold and cruel over folks just barbecuing at the lake in a place that you don't even own, how petty can you be when you feel like I own you and I have carte blanche to do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah, just whatever. So we start talking about rape, molestation. We just talking about just, you know what? This biscuit don't taste right, and you get beat because the biscuits don't taste right, or, you know, I'm on my cycle, I'm feeling bad that day, somebody need to get whipped. You know, you're a house slave. You're getting beat. I mean, we can throw out all kinds of horrible examples, and they still wouldn't even come close to the scale of inhumaneness that slavery comprised.
Oh, yeah.
But we're talking about patriotic education, because telling the truth to people, that ain't cool. We can't handle the truth. Wasn't that the famous line?
Do you really want to know the truth?
Yeah.
But no, see, you know the truth. You know the truth. Look, folks, remember the how people felt when Obama got elected. You know, you saw a lot of people like, hey, well, racism is done. Then you had the other half of the people who were hanging Curious George dolls all across the nation and taking pictures of them and posting them. It was so much. It just the thought of a black man in the White House was like, not that he did anything that violated you, is the fact that he was there. It's so much that in order to counterbalance the thought of a black man in the White House, you hired probably one of the most unqualified people to ever get in the office.
Yeah.
That's the balance. And he barely lost and he proved his incompetency. He proved his incompetency. See, and that's what I was saying when I started off the show. That's our reality. We don't even want to tell the truth about the past. So how do you get through these situations? When you need folks to be able to honestly assess the threat and, you know, keep the public's health and safety as the number one priority.
Yeah.
We ain't there. Because that requires a level of telling the truth and doing the right thing. We're not trying to have that. Not trying to have that. It just makes too much sense.
Yeah,
that's why
agree.
We can't do it. So, you know, when you asked the question earlier, it's a rhetorical question. We know the answer. It's just dealing with the answer. See, the fatigue in trying to do the right thing. So we can talk about their fatigue that we can't afford to have, because you understand that this is the way it is, and if you don't fight, it just keeps moving down the line. We want to stop it from moving down the line. You want your kids, your grandkids, to be a little bit better off than you were. That's, you know, now everybody else is kind of lumped in that situation. And so the stress, our common everyday stress, has been transferred to the majority of the population. And here we are.
90 seconds.
That's the truth. The pure, unadulterated, naked truth. Bucket naked truth. I mean, we have all technology in the world. We have luxuries, but we don't have culture.
That I agree. We do not have culture.
We don't have a moral fiber. There's no integrity. And so here we are. That's why we have a pandemic. And on that note, for Miss Brown Sugar, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. If you want to continue the conversation, you can jump into the Smooth Drama chat room. That's where we will be. And after that, I'll just say peace. Together.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys
smooth. Drama.